Welcome. This is Jazz, Just the Way We Like It. My name is Alfonso Severos, and this is my weekly jazz podcast, recorded live at Brick Arts in downtown Brooklyn, the People's Republic of Brooklyn. We play those classic jazz songs of the 1950s, 1960s, and the 1970s, and every now and then some of the modern stuff. We discuss politics, social justice issues, and we get the questions and issues of the times. We play music that I listened to as a young man, growing up right here in Brooklyn, in the Marcy Projects. And here I am now playing them, playing the same, very same music for your enjoyment. And also to introduce a younger generation to that fabulous art form known as jazz. Our music is connected. I'm in the studio, as always, with my good friend, well over 60 years, and co-host, Lawrence Williams. Hey, Larry, what's up, good buddy?
All right, what's happening, Franz?
I'm good. You know, I was just thinking the connectiveness of our music, how, you know, it has its roots in what we brought over from Africa and gospel and blues and rock and jazz and hip-hop. There's a connectiveness that flows all the way back. But we're going to do jazz, folks. And today we're covering two main artists, Charles Lloyd and Horace Silver. And we're also going to play one song by Samira Joy and another one by Donna Owens. And you'd be surprised who she is. But before we get into the music, we always begin the show with a song that has to do with social justice, social issues, the human condition. And this being, again, part of March, which is designated Women's History Month, or the month to discuss issues of women, even though we need to discuss issues of women all 12 months throughout the year. But this being so, here's a piece that we're going to play as our social justice piece. And it's a poem. It's a poem by a bad sister, Nikki Giovanni. And it's called The Women's Poem. So sit back and enjoy.
My whole life is tied up to unhappiness. It's father cooking breakfast and me getting fat as a hog, or having no food at all and father proving his incompetence again. I wish I knew how it would feel to be free. It's having a job they won't let you work, or no work at all castrating me, yeah. It happens to women too. It's a sex object if you're pretty and no love, or love and no sex if you're fat. Get back, fat black woman. Be a mother, grandmother, strong thing, but not woman. Games woman, romantic woman, love meter, man seeker, sweat getter, love seeking woman. It's a hole in your shoe and buying little sis a dress and her saying you shouldn't, when you know all too well that you shouldn't. But smiles are only something we give to properly dressed social workers, not each other. Only smiles of, I know your game, sister, which isn't really a smile. Joy is finding a pregnant roach and squashing it, not finding someone to hold, let go, get off, get back. Don't turn me on, you dog. How dare you care about me, 'cause I ain't nothing, and you must be lower than that to care. It's a filthy house with yesterday's watermelon and Monday's tears, 'cause true ladies don't know how to clean it. It's intellectual devastation of everyone to avoid emotional commitment. Yeah, honey, I would have married him, but he didn't have no degree. It's knock-kneed, mini-skirted, wig-wearing, dyed blonde, mama's scar, born dead, my scorn, rough heel, broken nail, powdered face, me, whose whole life is tied up to unhappiness, 'cause it's the only for real thing I know.
Nikki Giovanni, Woman's Poem. Man, that's a powerful piece. She has this line, your whole life is tied up to unhappiness because that's the only thing you know. Whoa. Whoa. She sings, she speaks to the hardship and sorrow of women, of some women. Larry?
Yeah, it's Nikki really gets it, like you said, at the heart of what lots of women are going through with the shaming of body shaming and that type of thing that goes on, and she addresses that issue as a well to be, you know, delegated to a certain position because you look a certain way, and people look at you as you're designated to be that type of person. She really gets into it, and
she says, "If you're pretty, it's sex with no love. But if you're fat and ugly, it's no sex, no love."
It's really. She gets right down to it, you know. She's always
the peculiar situation of women.
Yep.
Especially African American women, and you know what I like about Nikki Giovanni? You know, she's from West Virginia. Professor Nikki Giovanni, by the way.
Yeah.
She's true to, in some ways, to her Southern roots.
Yeah.
Especially the use of gospel music.
That was very, that was very heavy.
Spoken word. You don't hear that often.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, I found that, I had to really focus on her words because the choir in the background, I wanted to hear what they were saying too. So it was like I had a conflict there between who do I listen to.
Yeah.
But I mean, what it does is she uses the choir to talk about what happens in the black community.
Yeah.
And you know, that's the black church right there, what she was going through right there.
So that's puts her poem in a social context.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Nikki Giovanni on a piece called The Women's Poem. All right, folks, I hope you enjoyed that, you know, as our song of social justice. We always talk on the topic, man, you know, issue of the day, so many damn issues, but here's an interesting one. It's the issue of TikTok. I don't know how many of you folks have looked at TikTok, but if you haven't, you should. You should listen, because that's one of the most popular. TikTok and YouTube are the two most popular programs for young people. It's not Facebook. Young people are on TikTok and they're on YouTube. And there's a lot on TikTok. And the House of Representatives, it goes back to, you know, is looking, and Congress is looking to ban TikTok. Now, this whole thing about TikTok, the issue of TikTok, it goes back because they claim that it's a Chinese-based organization in which they can be using U.S. data, and I'll talk a little bit about that, in a negative way or to the advantage of China and the disadvantage of the United States. There's no proof that that's going on, by the way, folks, but there is that possibility, and there's that possibility with anything online that collects data, all right? It all goes back to Donald Trump in the second year of his administration, talked about the threat of TikTok, even though there was no threat at the time, no legitimate threat, and there's no legitimate proof of any threat now. And he made that a national security issue. It wasn't before. It was just a social media platform. Do they collect data? Yes. Do they collect data any different from any other social media platform? I doubt it. Can this data be used in some way to shape opinions and to influence people later on? If someone puts on a crazy, degrading video on TikTok when they're 12 years old, and 30, 40 years later, they're a congressperson, and China used that to influence that person's vote or opinion? Eh, possibly. But China ain't the only one who have that. Everyone will have it. You know, it's not like China collects data that's not accessible to everyone else. But that's the argument. TikTok doesn't operate in China. China doesn't. It's a Chinese-owned company that operates in America and other Western countries. And so the U.S. is concerned that the Chinese government has significant leverage over the business, because Chinese law talks about that every organization in China needs to support and assist and cooperate with the state intelligence work. Now, whether that's going on with TikTok or not, or whether the data they collect is that important, or, you know, it's not like it's anything private. It's the data is available to everyone. Larry?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, the fact that it's a Chinese owned company is one thing, and the fact that it operates in the U.S. without possible connection to China, I'm not quite sure that works how that works. Because if I own a company, I own the intellectual properties, I own the company, and I own how things are done. I dictate how things are done because I own that company.
Yeah, that's the American model. That's not necessarily a Chinese model.
Well, I would think that if the Chinese are trying to not do something based on what they're, I mean, based on the communist point of view, because their economy right now is capitalist and communist.
No, the economy is capitalist. Jack.
Oh, okay. All
the
right.
government
then I'm wrong.
Has a communist government.
All right.
But the economy is stone. They're the best capitalists on the planet. The
okay.
communists are the best capitalists. It's
okay.
crazy.
Okay. Okay. I think I'm getting it confused.
Yeah.
So I would think the Chinese are very smart, and they're into intelligence. And they will use anything that they have to in order to dominate. I think that's how they're able to. They're not dominating us at this point in terms of their economy, but it's coming down the road, I think.
Yeah, but the thing.
But
is,
I don't know if they. I mean, this TikTok. I didn't want to get off the point, but TikTok itself, whether or not we should ban it in this country. Based on suppositions that we don't know to be facts or not facts, I don't think that should be something that's going to be done. And if the government decides to do that, they're going to have a problem with the younger folks, because the younger folks, that's what they use. They use that
the
in another
of it
platform.
Is, if Congress puts a ban in and Biden already said he'll sign it, the existing TikTok will still be, but no new people will be allowed to join. So it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
Yeah, but the whole idea of social media, they don't want to face the fact, they're blaming TikTok. They don't want to face the fact that there's a problem with social media across the board. There's the issue.
Yeah,
and we know that that social media creates anxiety with children, young people, depression, insecurity, and it creates a form of addiction. And so the problem is that everyone's collecting and sharing data from social media, and they're using it to shape people's interests and preference. And that results with problems in sleep, socialization, habits. It's teaching to use technology in a negative way. And we know that social scientists already know that people who are on social media, be it phone or internet, for over 5 hours a day, are more prone for suicide thoughts, low self-esteem, all kinds of issues. We know this. They tend to have a negative view of themselves and their body, their self-image, greater sadness. Low self-esteem, the issue is social media is more an important issue than China collecting how many teenage people are dancing half naked on TikTok.
You know, I agree with you there. It's definitely a problem, especially when you come up with those kind of things that are happening.
Mm-hmm.
And that's across the board. I mean, that's across the board. I mean, like, you just take an inquiry on Google about any product. I noticed that whenever I do that across my social media platform,
you're automatically targeted.
I'm targeted left and right.
Yeah.
Within a minute after I. As for that
marketing strategy,
so it is what it is today. This is what happens today. I don't. The only way that you can avoid it is not to get on one of those platforms.
Unless we begin at a very young age to teach people how to correctly use technology, we do not do that. So people spend all day. I take the bus to the train. I got on the bus. And it was college students. All of them were into their phone. Well, all of them were into their phone.
You go on the subway any day.
Yeah.
I can count. I would say 90% of the people have their head down into their phone.
Yeah. And it's not, think of it is, they're not using it for educational research.
No.
So the use of technology becomes the problem. It's not technology itself. It's how people use it because they're not trained or educated of other constructive means of using it. You know, and people ask, it's like people ask me questions, and I says, all you got to do is Google it. You know, you have available all the information ever collected on the planet in the palm of your hand.
Yeah, I Google everything.
Yeah.
Everything. I don't know how to spell a word. I Google it.
Yeah. And then, you know, you got to know how to check what the information you get, how to check validity of the information.
Yeah, because I found out that the one thing that I thought was like all facts, that you could put information in, what's it, Wilk?
Yeah.
I can't even think of the name of it, but you can add and subtract facts out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So how could you verify that?
Yeah, but you got to learn, you got to look, you know how to evaluate the sources.
Yeah.
So that's the key. All right, man, this we can talk on this for the whole podcast, but you know we're about jazz, man. And let's get things going with our first jazz artist, Mr. Charles Lloyd. You know, Charles Lloyd came to fame with his Forest Flower album at the Monterey Jazz Festival. But he was born in 1938. He primarily plays the tenor sax and the flute. He also played reed instruments. He's from Los Angeles, man. He basically played out in Los Angeles in Southern California. He played with Ornette Coleman, Billy Higgins, Don Cherry, and spent a lot of time in the Chico Hamilton's band. And in 66, when he put his group together, man, they put the Forest Flower album out, which was a major seller. And it was recorded live at the Monterey Jazz Festival. So here's a piece by Charles Lloyd called Sombrero Sam. This was also done in 1966. So here's Charles Lloyd. That's Charles Lloyd, Sombrero Sam, from the Dreamweaver album, with Charles Lloyd on flute, folks. With Keith Jarrett on piano, with that swag, man. He keeps that swag throughout the whole piece. And Cecil McBee and Jack DeJarnett. Sombrero Sam, and that was recorded in 1966. Larry, how'd you like that piece?
That was beautiful, man. Charles Lloyd is just a great musician, that period. And I like the percussions at the end. It was really nice the way that that came in at the end. It was like really, really added a little touch to it. But to him, the way that he plays that flute, I love the way he plays it. It's so light and, you know, but right, the notes are just there. They're just there, you know. Jack... DeJarnett on the piano was like, it was like, wow. He did a little free jazz in there a little bit every once in a while. So that was really cool. I really dug it.
Yeah, man. You know, those are the main artists who participated in the Forest Flower, the Monterey Jazz Festival piece that became such a widely known album. And this was done the same year, 1966, on that Dreamweaver album. That was his original group. Later on, his group changed. You know, Keith Jarrett went his way, and Cecil McBee was playing all over the place. Same with Jack DeJarnett. And so he got together with another group. And here's a piece. Kind of like this piece, because this is... Charles Lloyd on the sax, and this is called "The Water Is Wide." And folks, this was a song he'd done earlier, but this version was done in 2021. And he's much older. Oh, yeah.
Kendrick Scott.
Wow, man, that's The Water Is Wide, recorded in 2021. Charles Lloyd on sax, Reuben Rogers on bass, Gerald Clayton on piano, Kendrick Scott on drums. That was recorded in 2021. He was 83 years old. Playing like that.
Oh, my God. God. Yeah. Man, that is something else. How'd you like that? Old. Oh, that was beautiful. But to be that old and still
no, to be that young, Larry.
Oh, to be that young. I like that better. And to be able to play the way that he plays.
Man, with the music, the beat, the composition.
It's all there, man.
He's a jazz man.
Yeah, it's all there.
Through
and through. Yeah. I see him on Facebook all the time. He's always posting something on Facebook.
Yeah, I know. I see those from his Facebook page. Charles Lloyd, man, you know, this cat was, he had his struggles with substance abuse for a period of time, but he came back, man. He came back, man.
Yeah.
And he always plays within his limit.
Yeah.
And he has his style.
That is very true. You know, it is within his limit. Like Train and Farrell, they stretch the bounds.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that Charles keeps within the sound of it.
He knows how to take that section, that limit that he has, and use it differently, creatively, in different pieces.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating to see how he works with what he has creatively. So it's not necessarily looking for new. It's creating how he uses what he has, what he's developed. But he's a musician, man. He can do that at 83, bro.
Yeah.
A lot of jazz musicians, man, be playing strong in their 80s, man. It's Charles Lloyd, folks. So that's the second Charles Lloyd song. The first one we heard by Charles Lloyd was Sombrero Sam, where he played the flute. And this one is one of his popular songs, The Water Is Wide. That was a 2021 version, but he has other years he played it. Charles Lloyd. So we're going to skip now. We're going to have some singers and play some Donna Owens. Now, Larry, you can tell folks who Donna Owens is.
Yeah. Donna Owens happens to be Queen Latifah.
Oh, yeah.
And she has a voice. She has a voice. And it's a jazz voice that she can do, which surprised me when I first heard this album. But I hope you guys enjoy this. This is really, really something else, I think.
All right. So here's Donna Owens, or Queen Latif, in Moody's Mood for Love.
There I go, there I go, there I go. Pretty baby, you are the soul who snaps my control. Such a funny thing, but every time you're near me, I never can behave. You give me a smile and then I'm wrapped up in your magic. Music's all around me, crazy music, music that keeps calling me so very close to you, turns me your slave. Come and do any little thing that you want to, anything, baby, just let me get next to you. Am I insane or do I really see heaven in your eyes? brightest stars that shine up above you in the clear blue skies. How I worry about you, just can't live my life without you, baby. Come here, don't have no fear. Oh, is there a wonder why I'm really feeling in the mood for love? I'm really feeling in the mood for love. So tell me why. Stop to think about this weather, my dear. This little dream might fade away. There I go talking out of my head. Oh, pretty baby, won't you come and put our two hearts together? That would make me strong and brave. Oh, when we are one, I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid. If there's a cloud up above us, go on and let it rain. I'm sure our love together would endure a hurricane. Oh, baby, won't you please let me love you and get a release from all this awful misery? Crazy daddy, I never knew what love was all about. Well, James Moody, you can come on in, man, and you can blow now if you want to with me.
Queen Latifah. Moody's Mood for Love. How you like that, Larry?
That was really, I mean, I like the way that she started it out, you know, like the rendition that we played is just slightly different. The words are there, but the arrangement, the vocals are just a little bit different. There's like inclinations. There are certain things that she does with the song that's not done with our rendition. And it makes it refreshing and it's different. And the fact that she has this voice really surprised me. I really enjoyed listening to it.
Yeah, she surprised me too. But we're going to play another artist. And man, this one can sing. She's new on the scene, you know, a few years. Samara Joy, who won a year back. Best New Jazz Artist and Best Jazz Album, Samara Joy, singing Misty. Enjoy, folks.
Look at me. I'm as helpless as a kitten up a tree. Feel like I'm clinging to a cloud I can't understand. I get misty just holding your hand. Walk my way and a thousand violins begin to play. Or it might be the sound of your hello.
get misty whenever you're near. Can't you see that you're leading me on? But it's just what I want you to do. Don't you notice how hopelessly I'm lost? That's why I wander through this wonderland alone, never knowing my right foot from my left, my hat from my glove. I'm too misty and too much in love. Can't you see that you're leading me on? But it's just what I want you to do. Don't you know?
Samara Joy, what a voice. What a voice, man.
Larry. So beautiful, man. She's got it. So beautiful. And when you look, when I look at her and see that voice come out of her, it doesn't match. Because she's so small. But it's just, wow. And such maturity in the voice. She's so young also.
Yeah.
But it's such, oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
It's great. It's great, great listening to her.
She's a fabulous voice, and she, you know, she's trained, man. She trained for a long time.
Yeah,
man.
That's how you, that's, you can hear it. You can see that. And he, I mean, you can hear that.
Yeah.
That's where I guess I feel the maturity in the voice. Because if you train, you know, you get that. Not everybody has that gift, though.
Yeah, you got to have something to train.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, folks, we had listened to two fabulous female singer, jazz singers, Queen Latifah on Moody's Mood for Love, and Samara Joy on Misty. So it's time to go back to our second jazz artist, who's well-known, Horace Silver. Horace Silver, man, jazz piano player, man. He played a lot as a side man. You know, he played with the Jazz Messengers. He played with Art Blakely. He's on a number of albums. He did some recording himself with his own group. Played a lot of bluesy stuff. Bluesy stuff. And we're going to play two songs by Horace Silver. The first one is called Filthy Mac Nasty. Filthy Mac Nasty. And this is a recording that was done in the Village Gate in 1961. Sit back and enjoy.
Thank you.
That's Horace Silver, Filthy McNasty, recorded live at the Village Gate in May 1961 with Horace Silver on piano, Blue Mitchell on trumpet, Junior Cook on tenor sax, Gene Taylor on bass, and Roy Brooks on drums. How you like that, Larry?
That was nice. That was really nice. Horace is always good. And the other players on this one, also, you know, Junior Masters, great pianist. Not pianist, but was he playing sax on this one? Oh, no, it was Green that was playing sax on this one. So it was really good.
Tenor sax is Junior Cook.
Oh, Junior Cook, then I was right. He's good. I've had a couple albums by him that were really good.
All right. We're going to play another Horace Silver piece, which is probably, without a doubt, one of his most famous albums. And it was a hit all over. This was recorded in 1964. Horace Silver, Song for My Father. And it's still a hit, still played a lot. There's a picture on the album cover, and most people think that's Horace Silver. Nope. That's his father. So here goes Horace Silver with Song for My Father, with Horace Silver on piano, Carmen Jones on trumpet, Joe Henderson on tenor sax, and Teddy Smith on bass, and Roger Humphreys on drums. A classic, folks. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Horace Silver, A Song for My Father, with Horace Silver on piano, Carmen Jones on trumpet, Joe Henderson on tenor sax, Teddy Smith on the bass, and Roger Humphreys on the drums. That was recorded in 1964, and that is without a doubt his most popular piece.
Yeah, I love that one, man. That was getting out of high school, getting out of the high, and
that's Boys High, people.
Yeah, I keep forgetting to mention Boys High. But it used to be called The High in New York City. That's what it was known as. And I just remember that song. And it was just something that we listened to and really enjoyed, man. It's just got such a feel to it. You know, it just got
upbeat.
Yeah, it's really, woo, wow. Like when we were going out, you know, there were certain things that we used to play that really kept us in that partying mood when we used to party up in Harlem. So this was really cool.
Horace Silver. Okay, folks, you know, hey, we played Charles Lloyd, we played Horace Silver, we did a song by Queen Latif and Samara Joy. I think it was pretty good, Larry.
Yeah, I do. I agree, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a really good show today.
Yeah, it's that time, folks. You know, it goes by so fast, but we enjoyed it. And I hope you enjoyed it. And Larry, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Al.
As always, brother. It's my honor, my pleasure. We're going to go out on a piece by Charles Lloyd. I got to play some of his Forest Flower.
Beautiful.
Because that's another classic. And this is Sunset. Forest Flower has, you know, on one side a sunrise and the other side of sunset. And the album Forest Flower was recorded in 1966 at the Monterey Jazz Festival. So we're going to play the sunset side. So, as always, people, until the next time, enjoy this and peace and love.